Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Great song.
I'm sorry. Whoa.
Oh.
What song is this, Zach?
Barracuda.
Okay.
Just, I knew what it was.
I know, but you scare me when you say stuff like that. Like, why would you say that? Where is this remotely related to Party in the USA?
That's the joke.
It's not a good one.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt with you here as the Bills head to the bye week. 9-2, half game out of the one seed in the AFC. And, I mean, it's full steam ahead from here. They've got six games left. The next three are all against NFC opponents, and then they finish out the year two games against New England, one more against the Jets, who may or may not still be an NFL franchise by the time the Bills do, in fact, play them. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good.
The Jets, man. Like,
love them.
Like, I just don't understand.
Love them. I meant it yesterday, too. Outside of watching them lose, the only other team I gain more happiness from watching lose is the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They're the only other one.
That was something yesterday, right? Like, did you see the ceiling, the ceiling panel and everything?
So I didn't know about that.
The sky is literally falling in Dallas.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I think the game had started or whatever, when they actually showed the piece falling.
Right.
Because I'm sitting there watching the game with my dad, and he's like, yeah, that's happening. And I'm like, what? And then I saw real quick on Twitter, too, that there was like a windstorm going on in the Dallas area. I was like, what is happening?
Why not just leave the roof closed?
Like,
you haven't opened it in 2 years. Just leave it shut. Don't do it the day of a game, like 2 hours before the game. Yeah, we're going to open it.
Jerry wanted to shut up the critics about the whole sun thing.
Shut up about the sun.
As the roof collapses.
This is the real problem.
Oh, man. They're bad. They're bad.
It's funny because when the whole sun thing happened, he was like, what do you want me to do, build a new stadium? And it's like, well, yeah, falling apart.
Kind of, actually. Yeah, it's falling apart. They are terrible, though.
Did you see the Texans tweet after the game? They've been on fire this year.
Did they? They mentioned something about the fight on Friday, didn't they?
That, but they also mentioned in a separate tweet about the ceiling panel falling.
Oh, they had the two panels that made an L.
And then, yeah, they edited it and they like took the panel falling, the freeze frame of that, and turned it sideways so it made an L shape.
That's so good.
And they think the tweet said like "watch your head" or something like that.
That's so good.
Yeah, and it paired well because Joe Mixon at one point did the too small celebration and a touchdown. So it's like "watch your head, you're too small."
I can't.
The
wait.
Whole masterclass of beating the Cowboys is just my favorite thing in the world because there was also a tweet, not from the Texans, but just from some sports page, whatever. Wins what's the stadium called?
I think AT&T Stadium.
AT&T, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wins at AT&T Stadium this season, or this year, this calendar year. Jake Paul, 1. Texas A&M, 1. The Dallas Cowboys, 0. Like,
oh no.
Like, what are we doing?
There's also going to be like a few high school teams that are going to put one because of the state championship.
Right. I mean, when's that start? Like a week or two, probably?
No, probably. We got a few more weeks.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I think a few more weeks.
Know. I mean, I know around here things are starting to heat up in terms of high school football playoffs. So I didn't know if it was any different in Texas. It probably is because of the weather. But
and you know what, though, too? And last thing on the Cowboys, they're going to see all their issues on defense. And Jerry's going to be like, that Boise State running back right there. We'll take him to the it's going to fix all of our problems. Aston Genty, let's get him in here. Yeah. He's going to fix all of our problems.
Yeah, you're going to put him behind Dak Prescott for 6 years.
I can't wait for their offseason.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait for them to not sign Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and then he can come sign with the Bills.
Still a thing. That is still a thing.
Not the thing is not him signing with the Bills. The thing is him leaving Dallas. But I just would love for him to be here.
They're a lot of fun to watch just absolutely flounder around. They have not met or they have not met the expectations I think they set for themselves. I don't think anyone else had set those expectations.
I don't think they've met any expectations.
They have not met any expectations. But that's where I do want us to take the show today. The Bills are on the bye week. This is sort of now the line of demarcation for the seasons. Sometimes you have earlier bye weeks. Sometimes, like the Bills this year, you have a little bit of a later bye week. But this is it's not halfway, but it is kind of that you can stop and take a breath and kind of smell the roses,
right,
as it were,
well,
on the season.
I think it technically is halfway, isn't it? It's more than halfway.
It was more than halfway, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were saying it was less than halfway. We're well past halfway.
Yeah, it's more than halfway, but this is sort of the line of demarcation of the two sides,
right,
of the season.
Right. This was always viewed as the, I don't want to say it was the harder side of the season, but when you looked at it originally, you all of a sudden you had Chiefs, bye week, 49ers, Rams, Lions. Like, that's a tough stretch of four games,
yeah,
on paper at the beginning of the season. Maybe not so much the Rams, but still, it was just all those teams right in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now that you're here, the Bills win over the Chiefs, give them their first loss of the year. The 49ers are last place in their division. They're 5-5. The Rams are not what they expected to be. They're still definitely a threat. Don't get me wrong. Like,
they're still
Puka Nacua,
yeah,
and Cooper Kupp are there. Matthew Stafford's kind of doing something, I guess.
I still love him.
He's one of my favorites. He's if he didn't start his career in Detroit, I really wonder what his career would have looked like. But and then you obviously have the juggernaut of the Detroit Lions. That's still the hardest game of your schedule.
The demons of the NFL, yes.
Yes. But I look at all this now and think back to what we were talking about, you know, when we found out about the schedule, and then even just right at the start of the season, after like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a different mindset now because you've beaten the Chiefs. You've done that. And I know last week we were talking about how much that game might not have actually mattered in terms of how you're going to feel. But kind of the way they did it was one of those, like we talked about this. It was, if they win in a certain way, we're all going to feel pretty good. It doesn't matter if you didn't think about the win or if you whatever. Mm-hmm. Because I know Zach and I both were very much in the camp of, well, if you go out there and destroy them, then that's great. But if you go out there and just win and it's just kind of like then it's like, okay, you know, cool, do it in the playoffs. But now,
Josh Allen played,
the way
boosted it up a little bit for me, I didn't say it yesterday in the nightcap. Like, the excitement of the win, though, did taper off for me as the day went on, where it's like, okay, got to do it in the playoffs again.
Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, it's also this, you've given them something to think about, and you've given them almost a potential start of a stumble, because yes, they're playing the Panthers next week, but how many times have we seen a terrible team go in and beat a good team on any given Sunday?
That happens all the time. I more look at it like Denver and Pittsburgh are definitely teams could get them.
I more so just look at it in the sense of they're probably going to be in the mindset of, whoa, what just happened?
I don't think so.
First loss of the year.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of like, how did we let that happen? But in the sense of just like this, you get into that, oh man, we had the undefeated season. Where did it go? And then you're so.
I don't think they cared about that.
The way they celebrated after that Broncos win.
Well, they celebrated because it was a big win. Everything they've said about the undefeated season is, it'd be cool, but eh. Like, we're looking for three straight.
I think that's PR. I really think that's just PR of like saying, like, yeah, we don't really care, but inside it's just, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be really cool. And
see,
then all of a sudden,
I tell you right now, especially modern teams with everything, with health and everything, I would tell you right now, most teams would not want to go for an undefeated season.
I can understand that, but I think that once you're into it, and when they were at the point they were at, because the Bills were kind of their line of, if we get past this, the undefeated season is within grasp easily. Because again, we've talked about this, after this Bills game, the Chiefs have the Panthers, the Raiders. I mean, the Broncos, sure, but there's not many big teams left for the Chiefs to face. So if you're the Chiefs, it was get over the Bills and boom,
you could
waltz to an undefeated season, essentially. And I think that's going to play some mental aspects into their game. Maybe not huge, and you're not going to see it right away, but I just wonder, you know, they did lose to the Raiders last year on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they play the Raiders in 2 weeks. The Raiders are not much better, if not worse, than they were this year compared to last year. But again, it's one of those, any team can come in and shock the world. I'm not saying the Panthers are going to go out and beat the Chiefs. But I'm also not saying that this win isn't going to affect the Chiefs, or this loss, I should say.
Well, no, I mean, no, it sets it up. I don't see this being a mental aspect thing. They've lost to the Bills four straight times in the regular season.
Yeah,
they're used to this.
Right.
I mean, that's why you got like the knee golf clap from Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why, like, again, I'm sitting here on Tuesday moving on from it because
we've
seen this before. Right. They've seen this before.
I've moved on from that part of it. I'm just looking more towards how it affects the rest of the season because now the Bills are technically right now half a game back of the AFC one seed. And if the Chiefs win, it goes back to a full game. But still, you have that tiebreaker over them now. You just need them to lose twice.
They got the Chargers, just to be comfortable. Pittsburgh, Denver, Houston on there as well.
Oh, yeah, Houston.
There's a few spots that they can drop a game or two.
Realistically, you want them to lose twice just for a buffer. But just in case, let's say you drop a game. I mean, especially like we talked about the Lions coming up. That's a tough game. I'm not writing that game off. But at the same time, it's a very good opponent that has really controlled games so far this year. There's a reason they're also 9-1. But I look at what's left for these two teams, and that right there, paired with a bye week, is such a big motivational boost for the Bills, I think, in terms of how they won the game. You picked off Pat Mahomes twice. And we talked about this before the show started. I didn't realize this, but he got picked off on his first pass of the game and his last pass of the game. That is such a nice, fun stat occurrence. But you also have the aspect of what Allen did in terms of controlling himself, essentially. I mean, he didn't have Keon Coleman, didn't have Dalton Kincaid, and didn't have Spencer Brown. But Ryan Vandermark stepped up, was great where he needed to be, controlled Chris Jones. And then, Allen was smart. Sure,
it was the one bad pick that looked to be a miscommunication between him and Knox.
That was one of those weird ones.
Yep. You don't love it, but it does happen.
Right.
For me, it was just more, you put up 30 points, which a team hadn't done for, 38 straight games against the Chiefs.
Right.
That's incredibly, or in regular season games, I think, but that's incredibly impressive. It was an all-time record at the time. That's been their calling card up to this point, has been their defense.
Yep.
And for an offense that I think has struggled mightily at times this year, namely in the first half, first downs I still don't love.
The constant, first down runs are a problem.
The constant run plays. They haven't put up under 30 points since Monday Night Football against the Jets, all the way back on October 14th. So against Tennessee, 34, Seattle, 31, and then the last 3 weeks against Miami, Indianapolis, Kansas City, you put up 30 points.
Exactly 30.
They are scoring.
That's consistency right there.
And they're scoring, and you've had major injuries on the offense. This week being maybe the most, glaring with Keon Coleman out, Dalton Kincaid out, Spencer Brown out, but Amari Cooper has missed a lot of games.
What do you think this game looks like if Amari Cooper's not there? Because Curtis Samuel gets activated, in terms of being on the field and being
I think he was
something.
Incredibly important. I think he was really,
he did
really important.
Something. Oh, Cooper, you're saying?
Yeah, I think he's really important.
Because those two
catches.
Because
he opens up. Every time he's on the field, you're seeing how good this passing attack can be when he opens up the field.
Well, and the two catches he has, too, are just incredibly, mind-boggling, first of all, because one-handed catch with the hand that has the cast on it, and then the other one where he practically blinks and the ball is there, and he just makes the grab no problem. He was great in terms of what he did with the ball and away from the ball, and it's just, if that's something that can continue and Keon Coleman's coming back, I mean,
I like the wide receiver
feeling
right
really
now.
Good.
Maybe not in the long term, because Amari Cooper is on the other side of 30, but in the right now, and I would say next year too. I think at this rate, I would be stunned if the Bills don't at least give Amari Cooper at least a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
I really like where they're at.
Well, I mean, at this point in the season too, what matters is right now. You're not worried about next year at this point because you're so deep in this season and you're so successful right now that you don't have to worry about, okay, well, what's it going to look like next year? Okay, I don't care. It's one of those things where it's like at a certain point in the year, you flip that switch to this. Either this year matters or, okay, we're done.
Yep.
Let's move on.
And usually it's the bye week, and the Bills have clearly shown we care about this year
now. And it's funny because this is one of those years where it was kind of supposed to be a write-off, and now it's 9-2, and it looks great.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the phones here. Jerry on the line. Jerry, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you? We spent a lot of time talking about the one seed, and look at how Kansas City won a Super Bowl last year. I think it's about the path and being healthy as much as it is about the one seed. I know in football it's just one game and there's only one bye, but I think a lot of NHL teams, like the Caps and stuff, and the Lightning have figured out, and the Colorado, you know, just get in, be healthy. You can win from any spot. I think the path is very important here. I want, in the week before, you know, the championship game, Pittsburgh coming here, and I think that's critical to this. I want Baltimore to go to Kansas City, like maybe in that round or an earlier round. The path, I'd love to get Denver and Pittsburgh as our two home games before we have to play a championship game either at Kansas City or at home.
Yeah, 100%, Jerry. Thanks for the call. I agree fully with all that, because I think that's spot on. Denver. Nope, Denver. Give me a rookie quarterback against Sean McDermott. Bo Nix looks great. Give me a rookie quarterback. I will take that matchup 100 times out of 100.
I know, but it's every year you look for the teams that are going to be plucky and are going to just ruin your season
it's
on
not
one
Denver.
Play.
It's not Denver. Not with a rookie quarterback.
Are we sure?
Yeah,
because
100%.
The way they've been playing.
Cool.
It is the playoffs, which is different.
Give me Sean McDermott against a rookie quarterback and like the wild card round, the divisional round. I'll take that matchup every time. It could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it. I'm not giving that likelihood.
You're giving me conflict here because I don't want to be confident about that matchup, but your confidence is making me confident. So I'm like, okay,
give
let's
me
just
that
do it.
Matchup but, every single day of the week.
Well, yeah, and it's like
Pittsburgh. I'm less so because Pittsburgh makes games ugly.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the past, you know, look at the whole season. How many touchdowns have they scored? Like 7 total?
It feels like it.
Everything has been on Chris Boswell. He's a fantasy football, like, he's the best player in fantasy football because he puts up 24 points as a kicker. And, you know, it's just.
Yeah, I'd like
Pittsburgh.
To,
Pittsburgh just makes me frustrated.
Yeah, they make me very frustrated.
They are
frustrated.
The New York Islanders of the NFL. They play the most boring style of football.
But I think they're good.
And they beat you.
I think they are good.
Right.
And I think Russell Wilson does make them better. Even if it's marginally, I think he does make them better.
Right, but it's a step up from Kenny Pickett, and it's even a step up from Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at what the Bills had to do last year, it was Mason Rudolph, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that, going from Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson in the playoffs, It's a very different game. And sure, the Bills are a different team this year, too. They have their defense has looked phenomenal so far. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Russell Wilson in the playoffs has been so successful in the past. And that's a type of player that you haven't seen in a while because he's been on these bad teams and he hasn't really been successful.
Well, he himself has not been very good.
Right.
He's making much better throws. I mean, him and George Pickens, that chemistry is legit.
Yeah. And Mike Williams has been a decent addition
for
them.
Yep, he's been
too.
A good addition to them. And then the other point that Jerry made there, the health, I think that was my favorite thing coming out of this game. The win is amazing. That will always be one. But in terms of the big takeaways from the game.
Remaining healthy.
No one else was added to the injury report. Even yesterday, Sean McDermott, speaking to the media, said he hadn't heard anything about Josh Allen's hand. I didn't even see anything. I didn't know that was a thing until I saw questions come up about it.
There was like one play. I can't remember, but I was getting a little nervous because they were like, oh yeah, he's getting his right hand looked at, and then they never talked about it again. So I was like, oh, okay, all right, he's fine.
It feels right. But yeah, that is the most important thing now going on for the rest of the season is to stay healthy. The Bills seemingly are. They now have the bye at maybe the perfect time where they can get back all of Matt Milano, Dwayne Carter, Keon Coleman, Spencer Brown.
You think Matt Milano's back?
We'll see. I mean, he's practicing now. I did see with the bye week, it's like, okay, San Francisco kind of feels like that one. He was limited this week in practice leading up to Kansas City, are of course already ruled out. But it was like, okay, I'm seeing the vision. I get it.
Who would you rather have him come back against, the Rams or the 49ers?
49ers.
Yeah.
With McCaffrey.
Mm. No, in terms of getting him up to speed. Not in terms of what he does as a player. Like, in terms of getting him back up to game
speed. Oh, as early as possible. Then, yeah, it's still the 49ers.
All right. I didn't know if you cared about the matchups and stuff, because I was looking at, you know, the Rams might be not the weaker team, but more, you know,
no, for me, it would like just a better be, type as, of matchup. As early as possible, get him going, you know, get ramped up, because I want him ready for the playoffs. That's the key there, because I don't think he's going to come in immediately and Doran Williams is going to play, like, 4 snaps on defense, but just enough to kind of get it going.
Yeah.
So we'll see on that, but yeah, for me, especially out of the Chiefs game, that is the most important thing. Getting healthy, staying healthy. The one seed would be cool. It's frustrating that that's where the NFL is at, that the 1 and 2 seed no longer both have buys. It's just the one seed. It has made the playoffs much more difficult. I'd love home field advantage, sure, but yeah, the matchups also are important there. So if I don't have to play Kansas City again at the earliest until, you know, the AFC Championship game, beautiful.
Any of the chance of not playing him at all?
Well, that'd be great.
that'd be the perfect scenario.
That'd be awesome,
right? Yeah, I mean you've.
But I've said it the last few weeks. I want another chance at Baltimore. I think their defense is garbage.
Right. Yeah, I think honestly this Bills team could beat the brakes off Baltimore. No problem. I really think
their biggest problem is they allowed them to dictate the pace of the game.
Yep.
Because their offense couldn't get off the ground fast enough. It eventually did, but then the trick play kind of threw it. But it allowed Baltimore to run as much as they wanted with Henry. You saw what Pittsburgh was able to do, just keeping it close. Not they gave what Henry 13 carries.
In this past week,
yeah. And then in the fourth quarter, he basically was a non-factor. They were able to just kind of dictate the pace, do what they wanted to do, no issues, no problems. It was great. They were wonderful, and they scored like a touchdown. they didn't do anything crazy. Now their defense, I think, has bigger star power just with T.J. Watt than the Bills do on their defensive line. That's fine.
13 carries. That's what they do. For 65 yards and a touchdown for Henry.
Yep.
This past week.
And he basically didn't do anything in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because he's not a passer, or he's not a pass catcher, so they did nothing there. I'm good. I'm ready.
And you even look at their offense in passing terms. Isaiah Likely was their leading receiver.
Isaiah Likely finally having another game.
And then you have Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman. Deontay Johnson had two targets, no catches.
What a worthless trade.
And it looked like it was going to be something that was, you know, kind of like a, hey, that might be something there.
Someone that had him in fantasy football, I was very frustrated by him going to Baltimore and then immediately being like, I don't really know if we want to use him.
Yeah, we just want to have him here.
Yeah, we just really like who he is as a guy.
He just needs to be around.
But.
Because last
the
week.
The matchups are going to be key for the playoffs, and that's right across the line. I mean, for the Chiefs especially, they had perfect matchups. Let's just look at last year. They had perfect matchups. They get a Miami team that can't play in the cold, and it happens to be the Arctic at Arrowhead.
-3.
They then get a Bills team that has A.J. Klein playing at linebacker. They just lost Terrell Bernard the week prior. They're also dealing with a bunch of other injuries throughout the year to the point where they could kind of do what they wanted, even still it was close. And then they get a Baltimore team who maybe not on paper was a great matchup for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play Baltimore, and Baltimore decides to completely change how they are on offense.
That's still the biggest.
And they still had to play near perfect. Travis Kelce had to ascend back to that Hall of Fame level that he had in all year. And that's what got them to the Super Bowl.
I think the Bills proved something on Sunday, too, where if you take out Travis Kelce, nothing else in that offense will work.
They're not explosive.
If you just limit Travis Kelce, everything else will be fine. Sure, Noah Gray got two touchdowns. Okay, great. Cool. 14 points.
But they had to grind out those drives.
Right. Exactly. And that's taking time off the clock, which is something that Kansas City's used to their advantage this year so far, but they couldn't use to their advantage against the Bills because the Bills were making them do it.
Not even to that. The Bills had 10 more minutes in time of possession.
Well, right.
The Bills were just doing a better version of the Chiefs.
Yeah. The Bills did control the game better, but I think in terms of how they controlled the game, it was almost like a go out and try that, see what happens, and then we're going to do it better. Like, that was the thing. It was because, I mean, the Chiefs had the ball first, right? And then on the first pass attempt, throws an interception. Okay, cool. Watch this. And then the Bills didn't score on their first drive.
It slowed down. Sean McDermott spoke about this yesterday with Sean Bulldog, too. Like, it wasn't the typical Chiefs-Bills game where it was just bang, 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 bang.
There
were points, but it was more slow, methodical. The third quarter started, I think, with, like four punts between the two teams.
Right.
So the first
Noah Gray touchdown, that was the one time you saw the Chiefs that, hey, there's that well-oiled machine of an offense we know. Because they went down the field in what felt like 2 minutes.
And Worthy had himself a drive. But again, it's all coming down to the matchups and what they have. I'd love to avoid the Chiefs as long as possible. I also, though, really like how this Bills team matched up against the Chiefs. With all that being said, they also have to get healthier. So
the current
Bills team, I love how they match up against the Chiefs. I don't know how I'm going to like it when Hollywood Brown's back in the lineup Isaiah Pacheco's back in the lineup.
And even Charles Omenihu. I mean, that's a big
piece on their defensive line. They could not get pressure even with Chris Jones.
Yeah.
So
again, props to Ryan Vandermark and Cyrus Torrance.
Yeah, so I mean, that's going to be something as well. Baltimore, though, I'd love to have another shot at them. Not going to have to worry about the Bengals. The Chargers,
well,
I
Well, don't. I,
no, not a shot.
You
not
don't think they're nothing?
I'm so done with them. I mean, I'm so done giving just two players credit for an entire team.
I don't want to say, you know, they're in, but I also don't want to just completely write them off.
Because they're 4-7.
Oh, wow, they are 4-7.
I'm so done giving two guys credit. But they are playing unbelievable. And I'm talking about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They're playing unbelievable football.
I know.
At a certain point, wins, losses do matter.
I know. But there is... I feel like they're never dead until they're dead.
They're dead. It's the same with Baltimore. Eventually,
again, you're doing it to me.
Win losses matter. But in all seriousness, like I saw Nate Geary put up like a tier list of where he put teams, and he put Pittsburgh above Baltimore. And someone's like, Baltimore's clearly better than Pittsburgh. Lamar's 2-9 against them.
Yeah.
Eventually, got a win for me to say you're better. Last year, people want to say Miami was clearly better than the Bills.
And Lamar, to be fair, too, it's funny because I think he's having a better season statistically than he did last year when he won the MVP. But he looks worse, doesn't he? Like,
no,
I'm not saying,
I think he looks better overall. I think Pittsburgh just has the magic sauce with him.
Maybe it's recency bias. They did not look good on Sunday.
No, I mean, but that's a typical Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, and they know what to do with him. Like he's 1-4 against them.
I look at his season, right? And I didn't realize his touchdown interceptions was that high.
He's having a great year.
25 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
He's having a great year.
I did not realize the ratio was that high.
Mm-hmm.
Still about the same yardage as last year, though, only 2,800 yards.
He's been awesome
yardage wise, but
he's been awesome. But welcome to what the Bills fans were complaining about last year. Allen was having a far better statistical year.
Yeah.
But win losses, because the MVP is ultimately who's the 1 or 2 seed. It sucks, but it is what it is. So, like, I do think Allen will win the MVP because Baltimore, for as great as they are on offense, can't stop losing games.
Yeah.
They are 7-4. 803-0550 is the number to call. We got some tweets as well. Bills' expectations as they head into the bye week at 9-2. Have they met your expectations up to this point? And if not, where do they need to improve? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fuck, you're listening to WGR.
Allen has to throw it wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Well, welcome to the end zone, Curtis Samuel. A 12-yard touchdown reception, his first as a Buffalo Bill.
Chris Brown there on the call.
Who is that? Who scored that?
I mean, a guy named Curtis. I don't know. I didn't realize.
When did he come off the practice squad?
Man,
what happened?
The last two weeks.
All respect to Curtis Samuel, because he had a great game.
Last 2 weeks, you're starting to see he's clearly getting healthier. That turf toe did cause him problems. And they're getting him going. Last week, a little bit with Indianapolis. This week, I've been tweeted out, too. Don't forget him drawing a pass interference deep down the field. He was in for a monster. It already very good stat line, but he was in for a very, very good stat line for himself against Kansas City. You add in, then again, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid into that equation. Amari Cooper getting healthier. He's making one-handed catches with his cast under his glove.
Which is just, I mean, that's just like a, hey,
watch this. Yeah, they're in such a good spot right now on offense. Would like to be a little bit better on first down play calling, but they did set themselves up with play action. So that seems to be their plan going into Kansas City. But I'm not really much I can complain up to this point. Talking Bills expectations up to this point this season, we've got a few tweets. We're also taking your calls. 803-0550, the number to call. And let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Jack tweets in, I would have been happy with 8-3 with this schedule, 9-2, and beating Kansas City, it's amazing. Let's also give organization props for seeing weakness at wide receiver and addressing early, 100%. D is playing better than thoughtful marks to Babich. All that matters is the playoffs, but right now I'm enjoying the journey. That is something I'm trying to get better at, is just enjoying the journey. I am really bad at it, and I acknowledge that because I said it last week. Like, to be fair, like, I wasn't really enjoying the lead up to Kansas City because I'm like, I care about the playoffs. I'm only about the playoffs. I sounded like a crazy person at times.
You did. I was right there with you, though, because I was in the same boat. It was like this, like, yeah, great, cool. But
that is the kind of fan I am.
Why not January?
It's the kind of fan I am. The last Bills regular season, I truly enjoyed every game and watched them all intently. 2020. 2020 was the last regular season. Like, every single game, I was just cloud nine, baby. Mm-hmm. Even the losses, I was like, look at them, though. Like, this is so cool. After that, it's been keep me in the expectations, raise the expectations, make it past the AFC Championship game, get to a Super Bowl. Again, that's my demon to battle. I get it. I don't really want to pass it on to people. I want to be up front. That's where I'm at. But I think Jack's right. Like, enjoy the journey, because this is a team that the big talking point was, you're in transition. And yet, in a year in transition, they have their best start since what, 92 at 93 at 9-2.
Yeah,
and they look like a team that can beat basically anyone in a year that really the NFL as a whole, it seems like overall, like, teams that can win a championship seems down. I was listening to Colin Cowherd yesterday, and he said it, like, he's like, there's probably only three teams that can win a trophy this year: Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo. I fully agree with that.
Yeah,
because I think the Eagles, for as talented as they are, have a serious weakness at head coach.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's funny because, you know, a lot of people bring up the question, are the Eagles winning in spite of Nick Sirianni?
Yes.
I think it's 100% true.
Yeah.
Because they just hate him, I feel like. It just – the vibe there is so off. But they're still winning, and they're still competing, and that's, you know, credit to the great players there, because there are good players on that team. Saquon Barkley is an amazing running back. I think we just haven't been able to fully see that because the Giants are a terrible organization. Yes. By the way, Tommy DeVito – that's electric.
I feel so bad for Joe Shane after having gone through, and even me as well, having gone through that Hard Knocks, and I loved it, the offseason edition, loved it. And, like, agreeing to a certain extent with where he was at, where it's like, no, we can't be paying our quarterback this much to hand off to that running back who's making that much. Like,
at a point, it kind of did make sense, but now it's like, oh, man.
We have to be smarter, and now Daniel Jones bent. Not just benched for Tommy DeVito, benched also for Drew Locke. He is not even the backup.
Nope. He's the third string quarterback.
And Saquon Barkley's out here doing reverse hurdles over people, looking like he's going to be offensive player of the year. I mean, just – and you know what? Kudos to him, man. We all knew the talent Barkley had. The Giants were not good. He also dealt with a number of serious injuries as well. And for him to potentially have, like, a career year this year on a loaded Eagles team, so, so much fun to watch.
I think also in Jack's tweet there that you were just reading, to go back to the Bills here for a sec, I keep forgetting that it's Bobby Babich's first year as a play caller and first year as a defensive coordinator. I understand, like, he's been in the defensive world with the Bills now for a while, but he's doing a great job. I always forget.
Their player development is spectacular.
Yeah, and their coach, I mean, this is kind of proven to be their coach development too. I mean, look at how quickly he's been able to step in. Because it's not like, you know, with Joe Brady, he was a coordinator before. With Babich, he's been linebackers coach and things like that. And it's like him stepping in like this has been awesome to see. And it's just, I think we're entering the realm of getting worried about losing coordinators. I don't think we're going to lose Babich right away.
Babich will take time because he's a defensive guy.
But at the same time, you saw what happened with Brian Daboll. It was like 2 years and boom, gone.
And you kind of knew it was. You were sort of just waiting for the notification from Adam Schefter going like, hey, and he's gone. And you're like, okay.
There he goes.
Here we go again. We're back to it. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Bob on the line. Bob, how are we doing today?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
Awesome. Hey, beating expectations. They're killing my expectations, right? You guys just touched on it. I mean, this is a defense that was led by Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer from the back to the front, and we changed them both out this year. We had salary cap problems. We got a new DC. We lost some of our key offensive weapons from the previous year, and we're all sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you know, they hope the team, you know, can make the playoffs. Will they lose the streak of winning the AFC East? And here they are with their best record since 1992. Are you kidding me? I'm on cloud with nine with you guys. They're killing my expectations.
Yeah, Bob, spot on, man. And we didn't even bring up the salary cap point, too. But, I mean, like, they get rid of Diggs to sort of eat the cap now to open up room for years down the road. They had 10 picks until the trade deadline, or till before the trade deadline with Amari Cooper. Now they're potentially going to have like 9 picks, 2 seconds, a first. I mean, for a lot of people, including myself, it was more get through this year, take your medicine now, the year after, and then 2-3 years after that are going to be the next era. And now all of a sudden you're sitting there going, nope, it's now. It's never a down year. Just keep going. They're not, you know, going to be the early 2000s Colts with Peyton Manning, where there were years where they're 13-3. There were also years where they were 6-10 and missing the playoffs early in Peyton Manning's career. Obviously, get better later. They're certainly not also Drew Brees and the Saints, where they went to the NFC Championship game, but then before their 13-3 run in 09, where they go and win the Super Bowl, then they missed the playoffs 2 straight years. They're not that. They are instead a team that continues to raise the expectations on themselves. They continue to meet them. We talked about their player development, and to Bob's point, you know, Mike Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both out the door, and they haven't been perfect, but Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin have been more than serviceable. They have been very, very good at spots, and for most of the season, they have not been a hindrance to this team at all. And then you also have a second-round rookie in Cole Bishop just waiting in the wings, waiting for his turn, and just kind of soaking up the knowledge with McDermott, with Babich and everyone there. That pick was highly touted. At the moment, we'll see how long-term it goes on the field, but as of right now, I still have incredibly high hopes for him. Brady as well, he came into weird circumstances last year. This is your first full season with him. I don't love everything. I'm not going to love everything. But
he seems to be adapting, though, whereas but Ken Dorsey was not adapting at all. Ken Dorsey was just, nope, we're just going to keep doing this,
He had his philosophy, and they were going to live and die by it.
Right, and now, but Brady, on the other hand, is, hey, this works, this doesn't, let's change this part that doesn't work. And,
I think Joe had a stat yesterday, too, that talked about the Bills passing in neutral situations. And in terms of playoff teams, they were number one. So even if your fears of Brady's going to make this team more run first and that they're going to go away from the pass, I mean, once they figured out the wide receiver position, getting Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir ascending into, I think, one of the elite slot receivers in football, they've figured it out. And they have been cooking up to this point. Again, we went through it. I mean, they've scored 30 points in their last 4 games. The last time they haven't scored 30 was back against the Jets on Monday Night Football. And they're doing it, and they, you know, they've had moments where they're slow starts, but a lot of that also comes down to it's a young team gelling together. You know, we haven't even mentioned either they got rid of Mitch Morris, their starting center, for a number of years here. That's a huge position to change, especially because outside of, I think, maybe a number one receiver for Josh, Mitch Morris was the most important addition they had made in his early part of his career to just have that stabilizing force on the O-line for him. I mean, who came from Kansas City. He was at one point the highest paid center in football. And they keep moving. They keep going. Spencer Brown has taken another step this year. Osiris Torrance has been incredible. Has the guy missed a game yet, honestly?
He has been,
his year and a half career, has he missed a game?
He's been one of the best draft picks in recent history. I mean, for the Bills.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I'd have been happy if they took him in the first round. They somehow got him in the second round, and he's been their starting right guard since.
Mm-hmm.
It's been awesome to see what they've been able to do with player development. And I do think going into this bye week, the Bills should be proud of themselves. Again, there's things I think they can fix. You did lose to Baltimore pretty embarrassingly. That did happen.
Yeah.
But as I've mentioned, I want another shot at them because I think this current Bills team, where they're at now instead of the first month of the season, I think they could take Baltimore. I really, really do. And, you know, we're not even mentioning, you know, Dwayne Carter, who we haven't seen in a few weeks, but he was an ascending player, third-round rookie at defensive tackle. He was playing great. Let's get to one more phone call here before we take our next time out. Dan on the line. Dan, how are we doing today?
Good, thank you. I guess my only criticism I would have to say for the Bills over basically almost the whole year is the first down play calling. It's basically so predictable. I don't know how many times I've been watching the games with my friends and said, okay, this is that handoff up the middle to Cook. Okay, this is that screen pass off the wide receiver screen pass off to the side there. Like, it's like sooner or later, you've got to give these defense coordinators a different look on first down. And to me, the best way to do that is to run maybe more. You utilize the middle of the field. That's the one thing that I think the Bills haven't done very good, is find ways to run some drag patterns or some slant patterns and get a guy on the run, you know, hit a guy in stride like Shakir or Samuel, and find ways to mix it up because they're so predictable on first down.
Dan, thanks for the call. Fully agree. I think they have become predictable. And on your point, though, using the middle of the field, that's something I've really wanted them to do. I wonder now, and you brought up his name, Curtis Samuel. With him healthy, I do wonder if you start seeing some of those crossing routes that Isaiah McKenzie kind of made famous for the Bills. It was like the one route he could really run was those crossing routes, namely against the Patriots. And if they can get him going, because that 4-3 speed, you can see it now that he's healthy against Kansas City. There were a few points where he was just able to, boom, and he's gone, and they're playing catch-up. The screens to Shakir I've loved. It's more for me the inside runs, and especially it became a kind of obnoxious almost to a certain point against Kansas City where they're going for like 1-2 yards. And then if it's incomplete on second down, which it there were points where it was, you're setting up these third and seven to third and nines. They were 9 for 15 on third down, Josh, on Sunday. Great. That is phenomenal. That boosted up their third down ranking from like in the 30s to like 42% now. But again, they needed to be exceptional on third down on Sunday to beat the Chiefs because first down a lot of time was just throwing it away. They were just throwing it away. Now they did set up play action, but I want the team to go to play action more. They are so good at that. And Shakir is getting open so quickly. And now you're getting Samuel, who's healthier. I wonder how his separation numbers are going to open up now that he's getting more of a run here and he's healthier. And you did get to see what he did against Kansas City. Amari Cooper as well. I think they are going to start going to that more. You're seeing them pass more. But I think they had an idea against Kansas City. They stuck to it, even to many of us, just the anger, to our anger. They had their plan, right. And it was working. I mean, it was working. 803-0550 is the number to call. Talking expectations today, taking your calls, reading your tweets. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I think I nailed that. My email closed.
I think you did.
I nailed that.
Yeah, no.
Finally got it. I've said it enough times that I feel like I should get it.
I would check my email, but it's not working. So,
don't you love technology in the morning? So good.
It's not even the morning anymore. It's 11. Okay, it is technically still the morning, still, but I've been up since 4. So
I count 11 as lunchtime. So it's like the weird transition to afternoon. It's not technically.
This is brunch time.
Can't do this. I cannot do this with brunch.
What do you mean you can't do this? It's brunch time. It's the time between breakfast and lunch.
Worthless saying.
Brunch on a Tuesday, though.
It's time of day. It doesn't matter the day of the week. If I had off today, maybe I'd go out for brunch.
Cannot stand brunch. Just give me the lunch menu. If I want breakfast, I will come in for the breakfast
menu. Why not? Hey, hear me out.
Or like some fast food establishments, we're going to do all of it all day.
Exactly. Those are the best ones because you get breakfast if you want breakfast, you get lunch if you want lunch, and then you get the fun crossover meals where they put chicken and waffles on there.
That's good. No, chicken and waffles is great.
Because chicken and waffles is not going to be featured on a lunch menu.
But then there are some places I go and they're like, no, we have a brunch menu. And you're like, I wanted a cheeseburger, man.
Yeah, but most of those brunch places have a cheeseburger on their menu.
They don't. It's all fancy.
It's a fancy cheeseburger. It's different. Wow.
I wanted a classic American cheeseburger like they have in the menu, that weird, like, creepy movie with Ralph Fiennes. It's what I wanted.
Why not? Hear me out.
And, like, we're going to put apple butter on it. You're like, what?
No. Half the time they put, like, these fancy, like, garlic aiolis on it and stuff, and then you get, like, the pickles on the side, and you put the pickles on it.
They put ketchup and mayo on it, man.
Okay. Tell him to put ketchup and mayo.
Why don't I have this aioli?
An aioli is a mayo. Have you never made an aioli?
It's not the mayo I want.
It's part. The base of it is mayo.
Brunch is worthless. Nothing is going to change my mind on this. Brunch is absolutely worthless. I've been to brunch 3 times in my life. All 3 times, I've yet to be happy.
It's delightful. You've just gone to the wrong place.
You've gone
to the wrong places.
The only positive, mimosas. They are genuinely a wonderful
drink. That right there should just win the argument.
No. No, they are genuinely, though, a wonderful drink. I will stand on that.
This might send ripples through our friendship.
90s music all being the same didn't. This is.
No, that was the start. This is the finish.
Okay.
I was just that was sure. The beginning of the end. This is the end.
This is the end. 803-0550, the number two call. Talking expectations, Bills 9-2 heading into the bye. Have they met yours? And if not, where do they need to improve? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here for another hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you for the next hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I thought you were about to ask me what the title of that song was and call it, like,
no.
I don't know, like, something.
No, like, Stairway to Heaven.
Like, stop.
No.
Stop.
Music. Really brings everyone together.
Say,
except when
I
enter the room.
Do you know
the title of that song? When you enter the room, everyone else leaves the room.
Do you know the title of that song?
I have no idea. I like the beat, though.
It's Rush. I know that. But I can't remember which Rush song it is.
It's Free Will by Rush.
That's what I thought it was. I, personally, not a huge Rush guy. All their songs kind of sound the same.
Stop with that.
They do.
Stop.
They do. Tom Sawyer, Free Will, Spirit of the Radio, all sound the same.
No.
I love Tom Sawyer. The best use of Tom Sawyer, though, was in Iron Claw. Did you ever watch that movie with Jeremy Allen White and
Zac Efron?
Yeah. it was the wrestling family.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Great
though.
Montage song. Okay. Oh, so good. Great movie. You will cry.
Okay.
Like, definitively, you will cry.
Maybe I'll have to watch it. But yeah, no.
Very good.
Sorry, not a Rush guy. Anyway, I don't know.
Opinions on Rush. Yeah.
I don't know. Opinions. I don't like it. I don't know. It's just something about the synthesizer.
The synthesizer.
I don't even know if that's what it actually is, but it's just that sound. Some of the sounds are great. Like, like the guitars sound really cool sometimes, but I just can't, I don't know.
I get it.
I can't get into it.
I love how, like, you've been saying that. You just, like, keep looking down. You're like, I'm, like, a little embarrassed, but
well,
I'm not a Rush guy.
They're such a big band that I feel weird that I don't like them, but, like, I just don't like them. I don't know.
I don't know. I've been into Dire Straits recently.
Ooh.
Like, I've always liked them, but, like, now, like, driving home, like, I'll just throw that on. I'm like, this feels good, because you'll have some songs.
Sultans of Swing is
Sultans of Swing is iconic. But, like, sometimes you'll have, like, Brothers in Arms where you're like, this is like, I'm going to extend this car ride. Like, I got to drive this out now.
Like, whenever Freebird comes on, you have to drive until it's done.
Yeah, it's one of those songs. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You have to, like, if you're pulling up to your house, you're like, nope, we're going to do laps.
Yep. Or we're just going to sit in the car and hang out.
Yep. But I've been kind of into Dire Straits a little bit recently. I'm liking the vibes.
You know something that's really popular around here right now?
Chapel Roan, as it should be.
Oh, well, no. Mr. Brightside.
Oh,
another electric performance of Mr. Brightside from the Bills team.
I found myself, so working the Bills games, I can hear how the stadium sounds even during the break, obviously, because Chris and Eric.
Right.
I can hear everything. And so Mr. Brightside goes on, and I can hear how loud the crowd is. I've come around to it. I like Mr. Brightside. It always felt like a weird song for, like, the team to kind of, like, grab onto, I guess.
Well, it's just one of those...
Like, it's like Gloria with the St. Louis Blues.
Where
from
it's
a few
really
years ago,
random.
Where you're like, I love the bop. Like, this is great.
Or Renegade with the Steelers.
Yeah. But Renegade, I can get behind. But Renegade gives sports vibes.
Yeah.
Brightside, like, and Gloria does not give sports. But they work.
But
they
Mr.
Really
Brightside is one of those party songs. Like, that's like a feel-good song. When it comes on at a party, you're just... Let's go. Like, it comes on at a wedding and everyone's out on the dance floor.
Yeah, everyone's bumping when Mr. Brightside comes out, which is weird.
I just love...
It's not a very happy song.
No, don't listen to the lyrics. Just listen to the...
Don't listen to the lyrics.
Just listen to the vibe. But no, I mean, like, the vibes around that when the Bills start, you know, just whatever, performing, I guess, if you want to call it that.
I mean, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are clearly performing.
They are. They put on a performance.
They're in a concert of almost 80,000 people every Sunday. It's fantastic.
And they're the performers.
And they're the stars. it's so much fun. And yet, hear that crowd. And this is right after the Allen touchdown. And
yep. Just, yeah.
Man, it sounds so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where, like, I got goosebumps, the whole thing. And that's, I think, too, my big thing, and maybe where I was, like, waxing and waning on, like, on the excitement level of this game, is I knew I wasn't going. Like, I was going to work the game, which is fine. I love what I do.
Yeah.
But then, like, hearing that crowd there, and I'm like, that would become a core memory. I know for a fact that would become a core memory.
I was at the Jaguars game earlier this year, and there was a nothing game.
Yep.
Didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, and the Bills blew them out. But when that came on and that started happening, I was like, this is incredible. Because that was the first time they did it. Like, really. The first time it, like, caught on. And I just have that, I was there, and it was like, that was a cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you're right. It's like a core memory type of thing. And especially, and sure, it's happened since then, but the Chiefs game specifically, or if that happens in the playoffs, let's say, let's say, you know, Pittsburgh comes here and the Bills are beating them up and it's the third quarter and it's basically done. And then that starts playing. This is great.
It's apocalyptic again, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I had a similar feeling going to my first Longhorns game. They played Florida. They blew them out, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But to start the game hearing 100,000 people all chant, "OU sucks," I was there. I was like, here we go. I'm ready to go. And so, yeah, like, that's one of those things, too. And you're at that game. Everyone's – the vibes are there. I was out in the morning in Orchard Park getting breakfast with my girlfriend at the time of the morning. And just seeing, like, all of the Bills fans all dressed in their gear, a few Chiefs fans as well. But, like, you could tell the vibes were a little different. I was like, all right. I've come around to how important this is, even if, like, they don't get the one seed. Or this alone, being that the CBS crew is all there and everything that they – like, you know, Jim Nantz talking about how it's Manning and Brady. And I think early on it has been better than Brady Manning.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that we're
– it's closer.
It's closer.
Because Brady Manning was so one-sided in the very beginning.
Between the two of them, the difference has been Mahomes has gotten all the accolades.
Mm-hmm.
Where for Brady Manning, it was the split. Brady got all the team awards. Manning got the MVPs
and the
regular season stats. Where, you know, both of them are getting regular season stats here. Mahomes has gotten the MVPs already, and he's gotten the Super Bowls. Now we're starting to see if Allen, under this new era that they have, can maybe even the score. But in the regular season now, it's become pretty regular that the Bills will beat them in the regular season. And that's the thing, too. I wonder if you're a Chiefs fan. Let's say they meet again in January. We know how we feel if they beat them. Euphoric. If the Bills beat the Chiefs in the postseason, I know the Chiefs have two Super Bowls already. You're not going to take that away. And I get that that's going to last a little while. But I wonder if on their side of things, if it all of a sudden becomes, okay, like, we knew that was the team. That is now the team that is standing in our way of more. Is that now, because there's probably also a feeling, same like with, you know, Steve Young gets, you know, his Super Bowl over the Chargers, it's monkey off my back. There's probably going to be a feeling of, for Chiefs fans of, oh, they finally did it. Oh, no.
Right, and then the floodgates have opened now, and it's going to be like this every year, or is it going to be this
back and forth? They're coming back next year, most likely. Or I think they're definitively coming back next year, most likely in 26.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're all of a sudden, we're going to flip the tape, or we're going to flip the script, too, in terms of, like, for years it felt like they were never coming here. Now all of a sudden it'll be potentially a long time before we go back to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Unless
the one seed goes to Kansas City and we do have to go back there.
Right.
But yeah.
Or unless it's a, you know, like the schedule dictates that the Bills go there or something.
Well, yeah, but for the next few years, it'll be they come here.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
So, yeah. That's going to be the thing. It might be a while, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, playoffs depending. Could be a while before the Bills have to go back to Arrowhead. But, yeah, I mean, them being 9-2 this year has made that a lot more exciting to talk about, not just the present, but the future as well. Go back to your tweets here as we're talking expectations for the Bills, again, sitting at 9-2. Looking back at the summer, have they met your expectations? And if not, where do they need to improve? Of course, always taking calls, 803-0550, the number to call. Steve tweets in, with all the new faces, they have exceeded my expectations. Every year is a different team, and we have a lot of new players and new coordinators. To be 9-2, learning who you are is great, and I feel like they're coming together when it really matters. I fully agree on that last point, especially, I think, because they're also getting healthier when it matters. It's great to be healthy in the first month or two of the season. It's also great to be like 4-0, 5-0, but it's better to be 9-2 and getting healthier and kind of figuring everything out down the stretch. Again, we've brought up even on the offense, too, they've scored 30 points in, their last five games, including against the Chiefs, a team that had been holding teams under 28 points for like 38 straight games. I mean, that was their calling card, was how good they were on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue the Bills, because of how bad they were on first down, if they were a little bit better on some of these first downs, maybe they're not punting in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a team that's putting up 34, 38 points on a Chiefs team, And I don't want to play the what if game, but let's say the miscommunication isn't missed on Allen to Knox.
Yeah,
and Knox keeps running and he hits him for stride. That's a first down. Do they score there? The Chiefs score on that interception,
right?
Or off that interception.
I'm
not saying it's a blowout. I don't think it's maybe different.
I don't think it's like terrible to play that what if game in this scenario, because you look at the things that the Bills did, and it wasn't like these glaring errors. It was like these super minor things that had one or two things flipped. It's a blowout game. Whereas in some cases, you can say that you sit and you play the what if game, and it's like, oh, if all this different stuff happens, then they score one more touchdown.
Yep.
But it's literally just like one or two throws, the interception and Knox, and then running it on first down a couple too many times. Like that's all.
I think he short-armed one to Samuel this week too. That I'm remembering.
I don't remember that one. I'm not sure. But oh wait, yes, I think because he was coming back to it,
yeah,
he couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't matter because I think the next play,
potentially, yeah,
something else happened in their favor or something like that. But again, it's this one game that every year you circle it, regardless of how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lived up to that for sure. But now it's, with what happened in this game, what's going to be in the playoffs if you do meet in the playoffs? Do you think it's going to be the same? Or do you think with the Chiefs getting healthy and with the Bills getting healthy too? But
I think that's the key, I wonder, both of these teams are getting healthier.
Yeah, but I wonder how much does that actually change them? Because early in the season, before the Chiefs got hurt, they were playing the same style of play, and Mahomes was having problems.
I think that is a really good question. I think that's really interesting with the Chiefs specifically. Yes, they have Hopkins now. Hopkins is making good plays. They still have Worthy. But even when they had Rashee Rice, who was putting up number one kind of numbers, he was awesome. They were still struggling on offense. There's no explosive plays on the outside. Hollywood Brown probably changes that a little bit, right? I do not want to take away what his abilities were. He was a very good receiver for Baltimore. Not great, but very good. But he's also coming off a lower body injury. How good is he going to be right away? I also don't totally know they're going to get him back in the playoffs. There's a feeling they will.
It's a hope and a feeling, yeah.
It's not definitive. Like, the Bills know they're going to get Matt Milano back. His practice window is open. He's practicing. If not, he's going to IR. His season is done.
Yeah.
We don't know, though, if Hollywood Brown is coming back. And even if he does, I think that is a really interesting thought on, does it really ultimately change who they are? They have struggled for 2 years now on offense and being explosive. What helped them last year? Always great in situational plays, namely third downs, fourth downs. Travis Kelce reemerged. Travis Kelce inexplicably became Hall of Fame Travis Kelce again for like a four-game span. We're already seeing it's not really happening. He had, what, two catches for 9 yards against the Bills?
To be fair, they did shut him down. They played very well. And the other thing I noticed, and it might have only been for a couple plays, but you remember last week how Belichick, that breakdown he had.
Talking about spies and stuff like that.
Spies and stuff. Dorian Williams was in that role for a bit of the game. I only saw it a couple times, and I don't know how regular it was, but he was there, and I think that was a big part of it. Because Dorian Williams, we've seen so far in his short career here, He's got the athletic ability, but he doesn't fully have the IQ there yet of where to be and when to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But the athletic ability makes up for that. Now, it makes up for it only to a certain extent. But when you're in the role of being the quarterback spy like that, you can just kind of hang out and let your athletic ability take over. You don't have to kind of guess where to go.
Yeah.
When you're in coverage and everything, it's a lot different. But I think that was almost the perfect role to put him in for this game. And again, I don't remember how much he actually was in that role for points in the game. But I do remember seeing it specifically a few times on crucial plays. And one of them being, I think, when Cam Lewis almost had that interception, when it kind of goes through his fingers.
I wanted that so
Williams
bad for
was
him.
Williams was right there on the line moving towards Mahomes as somebody else is coming up on Mahomes' back. And it's that was the perfect recipe, I think. And that's something that you saw play after play in that game, why there was almost more than two interceptions, I think. I mean, that the two interceptions were very uncharacteristic from Patrick Mahomes, but if you look at what he's done this season so far, that's kind of what he's been doing.
That actually has been very characteristically Patrick Mahomes.
For his whole career, it's very uncharacteristic. But for that, for this season, it's, yep, that's what he's expected to do.
He has not looked right all year. I think a lot of it, too, their tackles are bad. I mean, they, like,
Quandre Morris looked bad.
Everything you heard about them going into that game was correct.
Yeah. I mean, there was the sack that Von Miller had where Ed Oliver comes in over the top at the end. I mean, that's – I get one guy getting through to your – like, because this is a team – again, this is probably different for other teams, but this is a team where you never get to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Ever in the past few seasons. And now all of a sudden you have not one but two guys getting there. And that's happened multiple times on Sunday night. And that's – again, it doesn't sound that impressive, but for them it sounds unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how good they've been. And that's something where it's partially a big credit to Bills' defensive line stepping up because they've been a little shaky the past few weeks, but they got there. But it's also a detriment to, you know, hey, that Chiefs' offensive line has suffered and it's starting to show.
It is not a good unit. Right now, it is not a good unit.
You look at them compared to the Bills and it's the Bills, sure, they have many more years on some of those guys, but it's, you don't have that chemistry, and you can tell.
I mean, they just need to be better at both right and left tackle, which is very, very hard to do, especially you're drafting later on in the first round, so you're not going to get that elite tackle can change your offensive line in year one, and you're kind of – they're in a tough spot there. They're still fantastic. I don't really want to downplay them.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Have I been waiting for them to lose so I can criticize them? Absolutely, and I will never apologize for that.
But you also have to think back, too. Remember, we've had so many conversations about them identifying wide receiver talent in the draft.
Yeah, and how abysmal it is.
Right, and now we're starting to see maybe, hey, is it spreading to other positions? Is it a problem in the whole grand scheme of things?
Mm-hmm.
And the jury's still out. It's way too early. Right. They do keep winning, which is the important part. But it's not like they're not winning with players like how the Bills are. The Bills are getting guys like a Osiris Torrance, who, sure, he fell to you in the second round, but you still get him in the second round. Or more specifically, blanking on his name.
I mean, they did do it with Creed Humphrey, though.
They did. You're right.
I mean,
Christian Benford. That's
Christian Benford. Yep.
I mean, there's guys like Christian Benford where it's
they've got guys as well. They've hit. I think it's just it's been at certain positions, crucial positions,
right,
that have hurt them. And again, they got really. I don't want to downplay Super Bowl. They got very lucky though last year. Again, you get a Miami team that literally just physically can't play in the cold. They are just completely immune to it. You get a Buffalo team that was wounded to all hell on the defense, specifically at linebacker, allowed your tight end, Hall of Fame tight end, to just completely go off. And then you play a Baltimore team that inexplicably decides, hey, you know how we're a running team? Scrap that. We're throwing the ball, and they never stopped. And then you play Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. Like, that kind of works. That helps. It also helps when you play Jimmy Garoppolo in a Super Bowl. I don't want to take anything away from him because I think that's ridiculous. Because if the Bills win a Super Bowl off, like, an easy run or anything, even if the Bills had beaten Jeff Hostetler in a Super Bowl, no one cares.
Right.
Like, you got the championship. But I think it is fair to bring up that, like, there are missing pieces there. They are not perfect. They have to play perfect, though, now to win games. Or they are not play perfect overall. They have to be perfect in situations to win games. I don't know how their 52% on third down is going to keep up. I just don't. Because they're not running the ball all that particularly well. Their tackles can give up a lot of pressure. So if it's not second and like two, they could have a real big problem. And I also think the Bills matched up really well with them. I think that was a big positive.
Sure.
The Bills could attack their man coverage really, really well with Amari Cooper, with Curtis Samuel, with Khalil Shakir, and you have Josh Allen as your quarterback.
I was about to say, that and helps you have everything. Allen's legs was a big, big key towards the end there. I mean, especially because the fact of that touchdown was the last touchdown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I will tell you, I'm going to have a blast now watching them the rest of the way this season. If the Denver loss had happened the week prior, this would be so much more exciting. I think even coming into this week or that weekend, it would have been more exciting because it would have been the feeling of you get them here, you're the one seed, and they've dropped two in a row. Are they floundering? Are they falling apart? What have you? Now they get to play Carolina. If they lose to them, that's one of the upsets of the year. I think it's already 11-point favorites for Kansas City. Vegas, they should probably beat them as well. So they're picking up two wins there. It doesn't get interesting until the Chargers for Sunday Night Football on December 8th. That should be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to be Chargers watching with intensity now.
The Chargers are anti-chargering. They're not blowing games anymore. They're not falling apart.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh has been doing good work there so far.
Told you, man. It's what Harbaugh does. It's what he does.
He's the quick fix.
I'm surprised how quick it's been.
Yeah.
But even
he
fixed
Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
Kind of. He's regressed a little bit.
They're getting anything out of him, which is surprising.
Before it was next to nothing.
But I mean, you look at the Chargers though too. I'm not afraid of them yet this year. I think they are still a little bit far away because I think the Bills can handle Ladd McConkey and mm-hmm. Quentin Johnston like this versions of them. Two, 3 years, no. But these versions, I think they can handle. I think Herbert as well also has some erratic moments where he goes from, you know, in the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes territory to then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're Daniel Jones, got it. It's too much back and forth with him. But Harbaugh is sort of he's stopping the pendulum so much. And they're finding their medium. They're running the ball a little bit more. Obviously, Greg Roman's their OC. But their game against Cincinnati, I think, maybe was both like the most Charger game ever, but then the most anti-Charger game ever, because they ultimately were able to win that game. They ultimately finished the job, which is something the Chargers have not been able to do for a long time. Big reason why Herbert doesn't even have a playoff win yet is because they go to Jacksonville. They get up huge on them, picking off Trevor Lawrence, absolutely doing whatever they want. And then chargering happens, as the phrase goes.
Yeah.
And it felt like that game against Cincinnati, you could argue that was the end of it. They have an adult at head coach, and not just an adult, but one of the better head coaches in the sport, both college and NFL. Look at what Michigan is like without him and J.J. McCarthy.
Disaster.
They might make a bowl game.
Yeah, maybe. They're not even in the top 25.
Nope, they were undefeated last year. They were an undefeated national champion last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of dominated their whole way without even a ton of NFL quote-unquote guys. They have NFL guys now.
Yeah.
Namely on the defensive line. Some of their cornerbacks as well look like NFL guys. But they have not met expectations. That could be due to head coach. I think absolutely it is with how good Harbaugh is and how good J.J. McCarthy was at quarterback. Now you're seeing what he's doing with the Chargers in like year one.
Not even the full way through year one.
Well, I want to talk more on the AFC East here, and we'll do that in the next segment. But like, just looking down the road a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I like what Sean Payton has done with Bo Nix. Yeah. I really like what they have been able to put together early.
How long is it sustainable for Sean Payton though?
I think very sustainable.
Yeah,
I think you look at how long he was. Look, I think he can be arrogant. I think all these head coaches kind of have to be. But I think if they're winning, I think that's very sustainable, especially now that he's figured it out with Bo Nix, and that seems to be really working, like that chemistry, that duo.
Yeah, they definitely do have stuff to work out still, but I wonder...
I would tell you how long does it work would be more appropriate for Harbaugh, because he does seem to burn too hot, and teams do get sick of him.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan was kind of sick of him for a while, or their AD was kind of sick of him for a while. It was just they were winning, so it was tough to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. At least, I think that's how it was. It was either the current AD or former AD, but there were – I remember Paul Feinbaum, who covers college football for ESPN, always kind of talking about there's tension there.
Yeah.
And a lot of that probably also he was constantly courting NFL teams every offseason. Yeah.
Every offseason it was, are we going to need a new head coach because is he going to leave? Oh, he's
like,
not.
Oh, no, he's Jim's back. Okay, cool.
Oh, wait, no, he's – oh, no, he's – okay, he's going to stay.
The Vikings said no. Oh, well, thanks for coming back. It's very, very weird.
It is a weird relationship.
But I think with Sean Payton, it can go for a little while. But I look at those, the Chargers and the Broncos, I think, I don't want to say it yet because I was pretty aggressive on it with Herbert and Russell Wilson getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might finally be seeing the AFC West, though, catching up to Kansas City. Maybe not definitively to where they're going to maybe steal the division, but they're going to make them work for it harder.
That's fair, yeah.
Because for years, Kansas City has just kind of done whatever they want. The division is wrapped up week 12.
It's very much what's going on in the AFC East now.
Yeah.
But I was going to stop you because I didn't want – I don't think there's going to be any team that wins the AFC West in the next 3 years. I really don't. 3 years is like the limit, though.
I don't know.
3 years is the limit. It depends on what happens with the Chiefs and how they build the next couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. But looking at what is happening with the Broncos specifically, they will be a problem for the Chiefs in 2 to 3 years. They already kind of are. I mean, they didn't beat them 2 weeks ago, but came down to a blocked field.
They were there. They were there.
Right there.
They were. They should have won that game.
And again, it's not going to be they're rivaling them for the division, but the next couple years for the Broncos are crucial for getting that step, those 10 steps back from the Chiefs.
Yeah, I really like, especially where they're at with their rookie quarterback. I'm not going to call him young.
Yeah,
it's like 40. and where the Chargers are at with Harbaugh and Herbert. I think that's exciting.
Like you just brought up though, if Harbaugh wears out his welcome fast. Mm-hmm. That could cause issues, but that's yet to be seen. And the Raiders are hopeless, by the way. Yeah, I just want to throw that out there.
Brock Bowers is cool. It's about it. Brock Bowers isn't just cool. He's
insane.
He's the best receiving tight end maybe in football, like already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, he's good. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking Bills expectations up to this point for the season. Have they met them, or do they have a little bit more to go? And what would you like to see them do better? Do, though, want to jump in on the AFCs? Because I think that has absolutely played a part in how the Bills have been able to get out to such a lead. We'll dive into that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here until 12 o'clock on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Amazing night. It's not the Super Bowl, though, but, you know, we're going to celebrate this one for sure and, you know, take this momentum into the bye week and, you know, who knows after that, but we're going to celebrate this one tonight.
Now being legit. Money for nothing. Dire Straits.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Also,
this is a great montage song. First ever, like, big time music video.
Really? I did not know that.
I think so.
I always thought it was... Oh, Radio Killed the Video Star or something like that?
It might be that too, but I think this one was like the first... I think, no, you know what it is? I think this might have been the first music video to play on MTV.
I mean, because you do hear in the opening lyrics, they say, I want my MTV.
Yeah, yeah.
It would all come together, yeah. they're doing it actually for the music video. Great guitar riff.
Oh,
it's so
nope.
good.
First music video on MTV was Radio Killed the Video Star. You're right.
Yes. Still got it.
Man, why don't...
Still got it. Not just historical facts up here.
But there's something about this, too, other than them mentioning MTV in the song. What is it? I'll have to look it up. I remember, I'm going to do the deep dive now. I watched like a 15-minute YouTube video about it. Like, I distinctly remember watching a video about that. Because it's a great song, and it's everything about it's really cool. It's a weird, like... The lyrics, again, are weird. It's like one of those songs where it's like... It's a great tune, but what are they talking
about?
I'm
just there for the guitar riff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it's like, what are you talking about? Like,
I don't care.
Some of microwaves and everything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm like that with a lot. There are certain songs, though. Like, I'm here for the lyrics.
Yeah, no. There's songs where it's like it's telling a story. Like
Anything by Joni Mitchell.
Anniversary just passed. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Such a
good
song. That is a banger of a song.
Yup. Oh, who's the artist? I know him.
Zach.
Canadian. I'm blanking on his name. Give me it.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Thank you.
Zach.
I was there. I just blanked on it completely. I listen his lyrics, Joni Mitchell lyrics, Tracy Chapman. I'll get on the lyrics too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fleetwood Mac, because I find it entertaining that they're all breakup songs, every one of them.
Band was actively breaking up every time they wrote a song.
Oh, man. Fleetwood Mac. What a band. How have they not had a movie yet?
I thought they did. Recently.
Like, they're
making one or something.
Are they making one finally?
I feel like they already had one.
We're getting too many like popular bands with movies that like just reinvigorate the sales. And like they're all okay.
Whoa.
But the entire creation of the Rumors album should just be a movie.
Wait. This continues into our trend of breaking news. Because 34 minutes ago, Apple announced that they're doing a Fleetwood Mac documentary.
Oh, it's a documentary, I mean.
Well, still, but how do we do that? Like... But Apple's doing it. Like, you know it's going to be super in-depth.
Is it Apple TV?
Apple original films, yeah.
So it might be on Apple TV.
Still. Like,
they've got good shows.
The point still stands. We continue to break news. We continue to have things happen.
Yeah, that's a band, though, that needs one of those.
Oh, yeah. It needs like a Bohemian Rhapsody movie. Like how?
But better.
But better, because that was not great.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was good, but I expected better. How about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
It failed to meet expectations.
Yeah. Also, rough Oscar year that year.
Mm-hmm.
Rami Malek winning the Oscar. I love Rami Malek in iRobot.
Yes.
I was going to say, because that's right, because it is both a TV show and a completely separate movie with the same title. But didn't love him as Freddie Mercury. With that being said, though,
I think it was because of his performance of doing 100%. Live Aid.
Oh, see, but I did. That was the one part of the movie I actually loved, where they just recreated most of Live Aid.
That's what I'm saying. That's what probably won the Oscar.
Probably.
Sorry,
but oh man, for like 6 months leading up to that movie, just listening to Queen music over and over and over again, a lot of fun. Let's go back to the phones here, talking Bills expectations as we head into the bye week. Have they met them, or do they have still some work to do? Sitting at 9-2, Ken is on the line. Ken, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's a good question, and I'd answer it twofold. On the one hand, I would say, given general expectations that were held for this team following the defections of, you know, Stephon Diggs, not the least among them, the Micah Hydes of the world, the Jordan Poyers, et cetera, people certainly didn't think that this team would be within striking distance of the number one seed. So I would say, in that sense, again, we've exceeded expectations. Having said as much, as relates to their own expectations, this team feels as though it has not even begun to scratch the surface. And given what Josh Allen had to say, given his being the voice of this team, the leadership brass of this team is what he represents, he was very clear about that we've done nothing. 9 wins doesn't get you into the playoffs. So I can appreciate their perspective. They aren't pleased or happy at all with what they've accomplished. Having said as much, what we saw this past week was very, very enlightening. What Josh demonstrated was not only that he's a MVP candidate, which is really superficial and on the surface and superfluous in the larger scheme of things, but he is indisputably one of the best players in the league and in sports, period. I mean, to take over a game like that and to make it that it wasn't a nail-biter, I felt like we could get a fast start, play well enough, and in the fourth quarter, because this is Josh Allen's team now, he's not competing with any personalities. When Stephon Diggs was traded, I said then it would be addition by subtraction. That's what it has come to be, and Josh is demonstrating that. This is his team. Is his voice prevailing in the locker room? Nobody's competing with him. There's no personality trying to come in and be leaders 1A, et cetera. And I think that's what's leading this team forward. Having said as much, Spagnuolo had a great scheme by putting us, by pressing the run. And that anytime we run ball, we're really under center, so we're very predictable. That put us in a lot of third and long situations. He continued to convert, and that was amazing. Then I was waiting to the defense to have a scheme when we spy on Mahomes like we did and to take away his running abilities in terms of his ability to make to move the chains with his legs. Those are real talents he has. We made him one-dimensional with that scheme. And it lasted, even to the last play, when he threw that interception, he was being spied on by Dorian Williams. And Bernard, who had spied on the first time, attacking, was now as that third safety in that Tampa 2 scheme. Great idea by Babbage. Something to look forward to. I'll pause for the cause and say thank you for the enlightening question that you posed, and I'll let you gentlemen chime in accordingly.
Ken, thanks for the call, man. Full-on, 100% on... They've maybe met a lot of our expectations, but yeah, they've not met their own expectations. I think since 2020, the expectations openly, probably have been Super Bowl. This year, even in a year in transition, they've seen the Chiefs be able to win in a year in transition. They've seen teams, in football history, oftentimes a run of a great team's Super Bowl year is actually not their best year. Just looking at a current quarterback here that's kind of fallen apart in the AFC, Aaron Rodgers. They won in 2010. The next year they went 15-1. Like that was arguably their better year, but they won the year prior. Why can't they do it now? And it wasn't even just Josh Allen that was saying it. I mean, Von Miller was saying it, Amari Cooper was saying it, Sean McDermott was saying it. They knew it was an important game and a fun game and one they wanted to win, but it was still just a regular season game. I'm blanking on who said it, but I think Peter Schrager maybe was saying it on Good Morning Football, but it was just that he had talked to somebody who was talking about how McDermott was mentioning that, you know, in 100 years, no one's going to remember a Week 11 game against Kansas City, even for how great it'll be. But they'll remember what you did in the playoffs in the Super Bowl if you get there. And to be fair, we all do that already for teams that are 5 years ago.
Right. I mean, look, think back to, you know, Bills in the year they lost to the Titans, or not the Titans, the Jaguars, the Urban Meyer game, right? Like, you think back to that, and you remember that because it's the Urban Meyer game, but after that, it's like, that was probably one of the best seasons ever.
And we're also Bills fans, so we zero in on it.
True.
There's probably
true.
A lot of but in, if you just look neutral at, NFL if fans ask, that don't even remember that.
That was 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask any fan of the NFL what happened to the Bills in 2021, you'd say 13 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say, yeah, they lost to Urban Meyer in week 3 and it was 6-9. Like sure, people. If you look at the season, obviously, oh yeah, I remember that. That was Urban Meyer's first NFL win, and then he got fired, and you know,
yeah,
everything like that. But it's interesting to like put different things in perspective, of like when you're looking back at it. Sure, at the time, it's like, oh man, how are we going to come back from this, or oh, who's going to stop us? We're unbeatable. And then you look back at it in 2-3 years, even, and it's, I barely remember that.
Yeah, and every NFL season, every sports season, gets condensed.
Mm-hmm.
The longer we go from it, it gets condensed. You know, eventually, I mean, there are 60s, 70s seasons.
Yeah,
we only remember the Super Bowl champion. Really, right. We'll remember a few teams that maybe were just good enough but just missed. The Houston Oilers from the 70s, the Raiders for a lot of the 70s, but you really just remember the team that won and the Super Bowl itself.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously closer here, we'll remember full seasons like 2-3 years ago. But then, yeah, it also becomes like, why would I care about a week 4 game in 2020?
Right.
I only do it because I'm a Bills fan and talking about Josh Allen's ascension. Like, that's what we'll talk about. But a neutral NFL fan will be like, why do I care that he put up 400 yards against the Miami Dolphins? And I'm going to sit there and go, well, that was his first time doing it.
It was really turning
cool.
Point.
It was really, really cool. All right.
But it's also, respect. I think that also is where you, when you're a fan of a team and you're looking at your team specifically, like, let's look at us with the Bills here. 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or even like a couple of years ago now, we couldn't imagine just thinking the thought of, I remember having a debate with you of how do we not have the thought of let's just get to January. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it, imagine, you know, 10 years ago when the drought is at, what would have been at that point? It would have been almost over. No. It's like 10 years ago, it would have been mm-hmm. like 13 years at that point. 13-ish years.
Around there, sure.
But regardless, you wouldn't have been like, sure, you're thinking of, yeah, how can we get to the playoffs? How can we break this drought? But it's so different, the mindset and how quickly it changes just by having regular season success. Because the Bills have won games in the playoffs, sure. It's not been, you know, you're getting in, you're getting bounced in the first round. But it's just the constant regular season success has skewed everyone's reality of this team and just how games go in the NFL so much in just 5 years that I think that's how a lot of people had that mindset last week of, well, it's just a regular season game. And sure, again, looking back on it, I did not like that I thought like that because at the end of the day, it was a very fun game.
It was blast, yeah.
And it was good, and I enjoyed it. Looking at myself a week ago, I'm, what are you saying? Why are you not excited for this game? It, of course it matters. It's the Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that's how things have changed for us as Bills fans because it's that feeling of, yep, well, they won the division for the fifth year in a row and let's just see what happens in January. Hopefully they can win for once, you know?
Right. Like, it's a really dark way to look at it. It's really sad.
But it's hard because it goes back to your point earlier of the coasting through a season.
Yeah, but I feel like this happens to any team that is right there
and you can't get over the hump.
And just haven't been able to bite and swallow the apple. They're there, but they're not.
Well, think of the teams too that were rivaling the Patriots in their run of their dynasty.
Colts for years.
The Colts, yeah.
The Steelers.
Even the 49ers kind of.
Well, I mean, 49ers not being able to
get
now.
To the Super Bowl, but
the 49ers definitely right. now. I mean how Packers. Many years have they had to go through? Well, Packers got one, so I wonder if for a few years it was kind of we got to get another one, Aaron Rodgers our quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, for the 49ers here, if you're a fan there, the 2000s have been painful.
Yeah.
You've been very good with multiple different teams, with different quarterbacks, with different coaches, and you've lost every Super Bowl you went into. I mean, that is a painful existence. And then you also have the argument, if you just had stayed healthy, you're probably going to 3-4 Super Bowls in just like a 6-year run because of how bad the NFC's been around you. And you've won none of them? Oh. I mean, that's also a very painful existence. And then, yeah, we mentioned those teams in the 70s as well. You know, Houston Oilers fans, I mean, now I don't know if they're Houston Texans fans or what have you. That must have been rough of just always being second fiddle to Pittsburgh and then also years the Raiders. And sure, going, like, we're good enough. We should win a Super Bowl. As Bills fans, we're sitting there, Josh Allen's our quarterback. We should be good enough. We should win a Super Bowl. And I think that does just eventually become the mindset of – well, it's not always correct that every year the goal is Super Bowl. I know teams say that. That is not always the goal. There are certain teams that are actually competing for a Super Bowl. There are other teams trying to develop. And if they happen to get to one, awesome. If they don't, cool. Next year, the year after. Carolina, if they said coming into this year and honestly meant it, the goal is the Super Bowl, that is a delusional organization. Their goal realistically was to develop. But I think the Bills, even in a year of transition, are at that point always. Because they have been so good. They missed it in this first run. Now they're trying to get it in the second run with Allen. And that's where they're going to be. And they're probably going to be there until Allen definitively starts showing signs of diminishing returns in terms of his play, which could be 10 years from now. We're going to find out. 803-0550, the number two call. Talking expectations. Also, Sabres game tomorrow night. We got Niagara basketball tonight. Always love to hear thoughts on all of that as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've also been getting connected to our fans today, and that is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. No Sabres game tonight. They're not back in action again until tomorrow against the LA Kings. Yeah, I mean, that's Sabres after dark and then some.
I love it, but I can't stay up.
No. No, because for you, like, that game starts and, like,
are you
I have
even
going to
make it to
hours.
Face-off?
I don't know. I want to try, but I don't think I should. It's not good for my sleep schedule.
Because used to work the morning show, like, I would be in bed. I'd already be asleep before puck drop.
There's a potential I'm asleep before pregame, unfortunately.
There's a good chance.
I just
10:30 against the Kings. No real word yet on if Tage Thompson or even Alex Tuch's going to play. Obviously, we'll get more word there as the day goes on. Mm-hmm. Out in the West Coast, time difference, but even 10:30 as well. We may not know.
I was
going to
say they are out on the West Coast already. So it's Sabres news is going to be a little later in the day than we're used to in terms of morning skate and stuff like that.
But then tonight we do have college basketball right here on WGR starting at 7:00. Niagara Purple Eagles taking on Bowling Green there on the road, and then over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, UB Men at Vermont.
Ooh.
That's at 7:00 again. That's going to be over on the Bet 1520.
Super
Vermont
quick.
Always in the NCAA tournament.
Super quick. Vermont's ice hockey arena. Have you ever seen it?
I have. Oh, yeah. Man. It is really, really nice.
They lean into the fact that they just live in pine trees.
And that's okay.
It's great.
And that's okay.
I'm all for it.
Love it. That's going to do it for me and Josh today. Coming up next, Sabres Live. And for tomorrow as well, do want to give this a preview, we'll have Aaron Quinn of Cover One on at 11 o'clock. So do look forward to that. Hope you can join us tomorrow. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're listening to WGR.